Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Happy Hanukkah to all of you out there that are aware of this great festival that we're going to talk just a little bit about before we get into the meat of our message today. Although this is very meaty, for those of you who do not know what Hanukkah is, and it's really interesting, I talk to a lot of people, they don't know. Here's a little tiny background to the great festival of Hanukkah, which began last night when the sun set. So today is the very first day of Hanukkah. And here is a little view. When the second temple in Jerusalem was looted and services stopped, Judaism was outlawed. In 167 BCE, that's before Christ, Antiochus ordered an altar to Zeus erected in the temple. He banned Brit Milah, or circumcision, and ordered pigs to be sacrificed at the altar of the temple. Antiochus's actions provoked a large-scale revolt. Mattathias, a Jewish priest, and his five sons, Johanan, Simeon, Eleazar, Jonathan, and Judah, led a rebellion against Antiochus. It started with Mattathias killing first a Jew who wanted to comply with Antiochus's order to sacrifice to Zeus, and then a Greek official who was to enforce the government's behest. Now, before I go any further, I want you to mark what I just said. I'm going to show you some biblical background of this in just a little bit. But I want you to mark, it started the revolution, the revolt. It started with one Jewish man being killed because he was going along with Antiochus. I want you to remember that, okay? And then we're told that Judah became known as Yehuda Hamaccabee. Hamaccabee. Sound familiar? We're talking about the Maccabees. By the way, Judah became known as Yehuda Hamaccabee, which means Judah the Hammer. So if you'll remember the Maccabee Revolt, it was the Hammer of God, if you will. So Judah became known as the Hammer. And by 166 BCE, Mattathias had died, and Judah took his place as leader. By 165 BCE, the Jewish revolt against the Seleucid monarchy was successful. The temple was liberated and rededicated. The festival of Hanukkah was instituted to celebrate this event. Judah ordered the temple to be cleansed, a new altar to be built in place of the polluted one, and new holy vessels to be made. Well, according to the Talmud, unadulterated and undefiled pure olive oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which is the high priest, was needed for the menorah in the temple, which was required to burn throughout the night every night. The story goes on that one flask was found with only enough oil to burn for one day, yet it burned for 8 days and the time needed to prepare a fresh supply of kosher oil for the menorah. An 8-day festival was declared by the Jewish sages to commemorate this miracle. All right, so Hanukkah is all about a revolt. Okay, that's what is being remembered. That is what is being celebrated. This is about 150 years before Christ, somewhere in that time frame. And the Seleucid kingdom, and it gets into, you know, Epiphanes, who put the pig on the altar, desecrated the temple. All these horrible things were happening. He stopped circumcision. So this one man and his 5 sons, the Hammer, the Maccabee, okay, they rose up and they said basically to that desecration, and Epiphanes, who was ahead of this desecration, enough is enough, okay? Enough is enough. That's what Judah Maccabee said. And so he started the revolt with the killing of a Jewish man, one of his own, because the Jewish man was going along with the desecration. Sound familiar to anybody? But I want you to note that this whole revolt against that kingdom, that empire, that desecration began with one man and his 5 sons. And that led to the supernatural miracle, which basically is the signature of God upon what the Maccabees did. In other words, when the menorah needed to be lit, there was only one flask of oil that would last one day, but the supernatural miracle of that oil, that one flask burning for 8 days so that the temple could be cleansed, was the miraculous signature of God upon the revolt of the Maccabees. And so what does that sound like to anybody? Now, there's a lot of celebration about Hanukkah, but right now, in these days, this is the first day. The first night was last night. Let us remember that when there is a zeal in the heart of God's kids, even Yeshua himself had great zeal when he went into the temple and he turned over the money changers' tables. Okay, so Yeshua himself had a zeal for the Lord. Maccabee had a zeal for the Lord. The Hammer of God had a zeal for the Lord. But where does that actually begin? Where's the first time we see this kind of zeal? Well, I want to refer to the book of Numbers, chapter 25. The book of Numbers, chapter 25. And we read this story beginning in verse 1. It says here that Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. All right, so why did they do that? Why did the children of Israel begin to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab? Because Balaam, who was hired to curse them, couldn't curse them, so he told the evil king what he needed to do to beat them, and basically he told them, have their men go into the foreign women and have intercourse with them, and that will surely draw the wrath of God. So that was the plan. Israel is now led astray, and they are committing whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Verse 2 says, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, these daughters did, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. So it's like a bunch of holy men of God going to the heathen women and joining into their ritual and becoming debaucherous and having sexual intercourse and eating their food and sacrificing to idols. It's like a really bad backslidden state, okay, really bad. We saw the children of Israel do this in the wilderness when Aaron built the calf and all of that. So there's a tendency there. And then verse 3 goes on to say, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. So in other words, the people of Israel, the sons of Israel, they gathered unto Baal Peor. And what happened? Just like Balaam told him, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. God's anger wasn't so kindled against the people that were deceiving them and bringing them through strategy into this sin. He was angry at his own people for committing the sin. So what happens? Verse 4. The Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, slay ye everyone, his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. So there's a real problem going on here. The leaders of these people, of the tribes, are being hung. The people that joined themselves were being killed. And look what happens in verse 5. Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye everyone his men who were joined unto Baal Peor, and behold, one of the children of Israel, of the children of Israel, came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So remember that one Jewish man that the Judah Maccabee killed first to start the revolt? He killed that Jewish man. Why? Because he was going along with the heathenism of Epiphanes, right? And so the revolt began with the killing of one man, one Jewish man. Well, here you have again one of the children of Israel, a man, a Jewish man, and he brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman. Okay, so here is the sin of Israel. The Israeli man, the Jewish man, has this sin, and what does he do? He brings it in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle. And when and what does he do? He brings her into his tent, and when Phinehas, there's a name you're never, ever going to forget because it's so tied to the Maccabee revolt and the Maccabee rebellion against this wickedness. And so we're told again in verse 7, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, he took a javelin in his hand, he went after the man of Israel into the tent. That's why we know that he took the woman into a tent. He was going to have sexual intercourse with her because that was the sin that was running rampant with the people. And there he was. And so he goes into the tent with a javelin. And he thrust both of them, the man and the woman, through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So get a real picture of what's going on here. The children of Israel are led astray. They fall away from the Lord. They worship idols. They're involved in all this debauchery, and 24,000 people are dead. Moses is hanging the people, the leaders of the tribes, before the people. They're slaying the people that join themselves. Everybody's it's a mess. And in the midst of this, within the camp comes the sin, the Jewish man with the Midianite woman. And yet this man named Phinehas rises up. He doesn't ask anybody for permission. He goes in with a javelin and he stabs it. And what happens when he slays the man and the woman? The plague stops. Now watch what verse 11 says, or verse 10. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. So what is God saying about Phinehas's actions of killing a man and a woman in their tent? He says, Phinehas has turned away my wrath because he had zeal for me, which tells, God knows his heart, that when Phinehas went and did that, he did it saying, what are we doing? We have sinned against the Lord, and we're dying by the thousands And yet you're bringing this woman into the tent. He couldn't take it anymore. He didn't ask Moses for any permission. He didn't do any of that, right? Well, this is exactly what was going on during Hanukkah. When the Maccabee, when Judas Maccabee saw what was going on in God's temple, he had a zeal, a holy zeal of God. And when he saw that Jewish man participating in the debauchery, he started right there and killed that man. And then it went on where he took out one of the officials of the other side, just like the Midianite woman. So we have some testimony here that the house of Phinehas was alive and well in the days of the Maccabees, the hammer of God, right? I mean, that's what it says. But listen to this. In verse 12, wherefore, this is God telling Moses what to say to Phinehas. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him, Phinehas, my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Wow. You know, that is huge. And then, you know, you stop and think about what happened with the Maccabees, and you stop and think about Yeshua himself as a high priest. When he went into the temple and he turned over the money changers and he took the whip and he started just going through the temple with zeal. That's got lineage to it. That has a priesthood lineage to it. Well, here's what verse 14 says. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. So here's the story. Real zeal brings change. Real zeal. In every case from the Maccabees, which God signatured, and that's why it's so important to understand why the miracle of the oil is so important, because again, it was God's signature, just like God signatured Phinehas and made a covenant with him and his seed forever after him. Come on, the signature of God, when things are so rank and so wicked, and God's people do nothing, all of a sudden a Phinehas arises, or a Maccabee arises, or a Yeshua arises, and they put an end to the plague. God blessed that because everybody else was just standing around. I mean, yes, Moses was hanging people, and there was the elders of the tribes were going through killing everybody that sided, but 24,000 people dead. The plague still didn't end at that. The plague did not end until Phinehas did what he did. And so what is the point of saying this today? Well, it's Hanukkah. And if we're going to celebrate it, let's really understand what we're celebrating. You know, the condition of our country is pretty darn rank, if you ask me, and you ask hundreds of thousands of other people, maybe millions. We're seeing such corruption. We're seeing such wickedness within our nation. We're seeing such evil. We're seeing things that many Christians are lollygagging around, doing nothing about it, right? And God forbid anybody would do something about it, because they would be the crazies, but not from God's perspective. From, you know, when Jesus went into the temple with a whip and he began to overturn the money changers' tables and take that whip and do whatever else he did with it, you know, the religious people were going, "What are you doing?" And of course, you can imagine all the others when the Maccabees were going through and they were making war and they were the rebellion. You know, you could just imagine some of the people saying, "What are you doing?" And yet, in each case, it was a genuine zeal for God to put an end to the madness that was going on. And today, there's a lot of madness going on. And so we remember that while we celebrate Hanukkah, and God had signatured it by the miraculous lighting of the candles and the menorah, that maybe we should take heed. Maybe we should tune in and ask God, what zeal do I have for the Lord? You know, what is my zeal? What do you want to do about the problems that are going on in our society today? You know, what is your zeal? Jesus didn't kill anybody when he went into the temple. He just took a whip and he let it rip with the whip. You know what I mean? But do you have any zeal left in you? Maybe these stories will stir the fire and the passion in your heart once again to be zealous for your God, to be zealous for your Lord. Do you know every day out of Hollywood and on television, they blaspheme the holy name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you even care about that anymore? Do you care that they take his name in vain? Do you care that homosexuals have taken the rainbow color flag, God's covenant, and turned it into a desecration for a movement that is godless? Do you care anymore that what is happening in the twisting of the word of God and all the evils that are being promoted in our society, does it even bother you anymore? Is there any zeal? Did you once have a zeal and it's waned terribly because the darkness is settling in like a wet blanket to quench the fire in your heart? Do you have any fire in your heart beyond just arguing with people? Is there a zeal for God? Do you have anything for God left in you? I just think if we're going to celebrate, we should ask ourselves these questions. And there's so much more, but let's be honest about what we're celebrating. We're celebrating a revolt. You know what it would be like? It would be like all of God's people in America gathering together and going to Washington, D.C. and putting the left, the Democrats, who have created such consternation, getting them out of office, removing them from their post, firing Nancy Pelosi, getting rid of the Jezebel spirit in Washington, D.C., putting Bill and Hillary and Chuck and all the rest of them in prison. Now, that would be a really good memorial service for Hanukkah. But who would lead the charge? Well, we're hoping to God that President Donald J. Trump may be a Maccabee. Maybe he is going to take a few men with him like Judas of Maccabee did, his five sons, and start something. And I get the feeling that the president is starting something. His moxie, his tweeting, his verbiage, his ways are exactly what the zeal of God would need to get fueled again. But how many people want to get behind it? Well, we're seeing the Republicans supposedly behind him. We'll see where it all goes. But isn't it time to clean the swamp? Isn't that in and of itself a Maccabean revolt against the swamp and the establishment and the liberalism on the left that has produced 90 million shedding of innocent blood murders in our country and over 500 million, that's half a billion, mass murders of innocent blood by this left in Washington, D.C. with the Supreme Court justices? And then the legalization of the abominations that homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, pedophilia. Yes, Pastor Vince, we hear you talk about it all the time. Okay. Well, isn't it an abomination? And wouldn't it be a great time to cleanse the swamp completely so that the plague in our nation will cease? And what is that plague? Well, if you don't think it's a plague that children in high school are getting murdered, or people in a shopping mall, or massive hurricanes that wipe out the Bahamas, parts of the Bahamas, or the hurricanes, or the earthquakes, or the fires, or the storms, or the tornadoes, or the mass shootings, and all the things going on. This is all a result of judgment for our sins. Don't you want the plague to stop? The left is a plague. Communism is a plague. Socialism is a plague. The establishment that does nothing. 8 years of Obama, no impeachment, not even a view of impeachment. 8 years of a man who desecrated our society. Nothing, because the right doesn't do anything. The nice Republicans sit back and don't do anything. So now we have a good president in there, and the left hasn't stopped in their pursuit. Wouldn't it be nice to see the right rise up and say and contend once and for all with this blasphemy within our nation? Wouldn't this be a good time for that to happen? People say, what do I do? Get behind the president. Get behind him. Pray for him. Stand up. Get on radio. Get on YouTube. Get your voice. Go to the housetop. Start shouting out about the blasphemy against your Lord Jesus Christ. They took Christ out of Christmas. They did everything they could for 8 years under Obama, and then the blasphemy of the preceding presidencies was just as rank. So I'm just saying, if you're going to celebrate something, understand what you're celebrating. What do you do? What's my part? Where's the leadership? Do I have any zeal, or is it all gas? You know, you got to ask yourself those questions. I don't mean to be rude, but you know, that's what the word says. It's all wind. It's all wind. And yet the Apostle Paul said he didn't beat the air. He made contact. What do you have inside of you to touch what's going on in our society today? Where is your zeal for God? Where is your zeal for Christ? Can you even speak against what's going on, or are you afraid of what people may say of you? I don't know. I guess I hope that there's some zeal left, because anything other than that is just cowardice, observation, waiting for somebody to do something. And while 24,000 people were being killed in the camp, thank God Phinehas didn't wait for somebody to give him permission. And yes, his actions were a bit extreme, some would say, and yet God blessed him. God blessed him. Not the God of the Old Testament, who's now a different God in the New Testament. No, God blessed him for what he did for his zeal, and God stopped the plague. And God signatured the hammer movement of the Maccabees. God blessed them with the lighting of the menorah, keeping that lit for 8 days. God didn't come against his son when he went into the temple with a whip. And do you know that whip was a weapon? Let's be real. Somebody could have had their eye plucked out. Remember, don't shoot those paper clips. You could pluck somebody's eye out. Well, Yeshua had a whip. It could have hurt somebody. Well, what are we advocating today? How about just asking God to send a fresh wind from heaven to blow upon the embers of our heart to get some zeal back in us, to begin to detest, to get to a point of what's being promoted in our country, like abortion and homosexuality, that's running rampant like a wildfire, to put it out? What would be wrong with that? You'd be told you're a bad Christian. You're a bad boy. You're a bad girl. Don't you dare get people alive again. Don't you dare provoke the fire in anybody anymore. You just keep fighting amongst yourselves, you little Christians. You're just having your little debates about, straining at a gnat, swallowing a camel, like the rabbinical thought over this very holiday. There's two rabbinical thoughts. The one part of the rabbi said, well, we should light the candle, 8 candles on the first day, and then the second day, 7, and we'll work backwards. But the other rabbinical thought was, no, we need to start with lighting 1 candle. And they strain at a gnat. They're divided about which candle. Should we light 8, or should we light 1 on the first day? And that's what Christians do. They get involved with this technical stuff, which means nothing. The fact of the matter is, celebrate the fact of the miracle, right? Now, they did finally choose a side. It was the Hillel side, as I understand it. Do you have any zeal in you? I guess the last 28 minutes, I'm just asking, is there any zeal left? And you say, yes, I have a zeal for God. What are you doing with your zeal? How does your zeal show up? You see, the fact of the matter is, a lot of Christians, quote unquote, are in the bed of Jezebel. They're weak, they're anemic, they have nothing of real strength. You never see their zeal in anything. They've had their, how's the nicest way to say it? Their strength has been taken away from them. And doesn't Jezebel always take away the strength of the prophets and the people of God? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Too hard of a message for you? Well, you better go turn on some nice TBN fluff. Now, I'm just trying to figure out what Hanukkah is all about, and somebody will put a nice little fluffy to it and caramelize it and put some sweetness and make it such a sweet little thing, you know. I don't know. I don't see anything about this celebration being like that. I guess it's a call to where are the real men and women of God? What are you doing with your zeal? Yelling at your kids? Yelling at your spouse? Fighting with your church members? That's not where your zeal needs to be. Your zeal needs to be against the injustice going on in your nation. Oh, but you're not allowed to do that, Christian. You're supposed to be a good little, you know, you're not supposed to have any zeal. You're not supposed, and yet God keeps blessing the people that have zeal. I mean, our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, took a whip into a temple. When is the last time you walked into a church and shouted, "Stop preaching lies in the name of Jesus Christ"? Where's your zeal? When's the last time you walked into a store or a mall and shouted in the middle of everybody, "Excuse me, I've got something to tell you about the season"? I've done it. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying I've done it. I've been in malls and I shouted from the rooftops. I've been in the middle of conferences and concerts where people started preaching lies, and I stood up and I spoke about it, and I'm still speaking about it. And I'm asking you, where is your fire? Every single day in your country and in the city you live, they blaspheme God by promoting laws that are wicked and evil. And what do you do about it? Sit around the table and complain? What do you do? You're afraid of drawing negative attention to you? I'll tell you what, if you have real zeal in your heart for God, and you are sick and tired of what's going on in society, God will give you some attention. Every time somebody did something out of zeal, he blessed them when their zeal was for his righteousness. What are you afraid of? Finally, this guy in Ames, Iowa, 30-year-old Mexican guy, sees a rainbow-colored flag in the front of a Church of God building, a Church of God building. He pulls it down, sets it on fire, because it's wrong. But he got a 16-year sentence for burning an LGBTQ queer gay flag that was on a church. So he'll get 16 years in prison. What every Christian in this country should be doing is writing letters, going around that court and saying, "Heck no. They burn American flags everywhere. They blaspheme God everywhere." So one 30-year-old Mexican boy, man, takes a flag down that should not be on a church anyways, and he gets 16 years in prison, and everybody passes wind. Where's the touch? Where's the zeal? I could go on with case after case after case after case after case, but I'm just asking the few people that may be listening to this broadcast right now, or the many, I don't know, or who will be hearing it in a day or so, I don't know. Where's your zeal for God? You know, I don't think Phineas sat around while the 24,000 people were dying and people were being killed all around, and he was thinking, "Gee, what can I do?" I think when he saw that Midianite woman and that Israeli man, that just drew the straw. That was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. That was it. He didn't even have to think. He got up and responded to the blasphemy that was destroying his nation. Yes, it is Hanukkah. You want to go eat fried foods? Go eat fried foods. You want to go light candles and do all those nice things? Go ahead. That's nice. But that's not what this is about, eating fried foods. Maybe that's commemorative of it, but it's, what are you celebrating? The hammer. You're celebrating the hammer of God that broke the enemy's power through a zealous man who started a revolt. It's insane, not only what's going on in Hollyweird, but what's going on in Washington, D.C. The alligators are coming after the president who said we're going to drain the swamp. The alligators, the crocodiles, the monsters that have been dwelling in the swamp, feeding on the corruption. Like the serpent from his belly in Genesis to a great red dragon in Revelation. They've grown through the corruptive ages. Now they're trying to destroy, twist, pervert, separate, divide. Who are these people? Who are they? Who in the world gave Nancy Pelosi so much power? Would to God that Jehu would bring Jezebel down. Oh, but don't talk that way. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to have zeal. You need to symbolize all of these thoughts and ideas. You can't be strong. You can't even begin to suggest fiery Nancy. We can't do anything about Nancy or Hillary. They're in power. Well, I don't know. But I was encouraged to talk about Hanukkah today. And it led me into a study of the Phinehas priesthood. His seed will be blessed forever. Oh, it runs deep. It does run deep. I mean, there are groups out there today that claim to be the House of Phinehas. There's been an ongoing war within our nation. It's kind of been quiet lately. You remember what happened down in Waco, Texas in the 1990s when men, women, and children were set on fire and killed by some guys in black uniforms, supposedly U.S. ATF teams. Some people say they were Russian. And then following that, the Oklahoma City bombing, you got to make the connection that there's been the government and an underground government at war in our country for a long, long time. Something is operating that's way beyond most of us. I'm just asking, forget about governmental political things. I'm asking, where's the zeal for the Lord? Where's the zeal for God today? I always wondered, why haven't Christians gathered by the millions in Hollywood and protested the blasphemy of our Lord Jesus Christ that comes out of that cesspool? I call, if the Washington, D.C. is the swamp, then Hollyweird is the belly of the beast where all the junk comes out of his belly, the vomit through the nations of the earth. Why doesn't anybody stop it? Why don't Christians go there? Why don't Christians go? Because we're so disorganized. We're all sitting around watching 24,000 dead. What's it going to take to provoke the zeal of God in your life? Sometimes the frog is in the pot for so long, waiting to make its move, and it never does because it winds up getting cooked to death. People want to rise up, but they're so sick in the bed of Jezebel, they can't rise. It's a warning to us. It's a warning to us not to get cooked, to lose your zeal, to lose your passion, to lose your love for God. God doesn't hate you for being passionate for him. He blessed Phinehas. He signatured the Maccabee revolt. He loved his son. So anyways, that's kind of what we're talking about today. And I guess we're going to tune in and see if anybody's listening on the radio program. Maybe you have some questions or thoughts. I got some calls coming in. I better put my headphones on or hope maybe earplugs if I get yelled at. I don't know. But let's see. I'll turn this one on first, and I'm going to bring in my precious wife. Patricia is number one on the list. Good morning, Patricia. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. Well, we have quite a podcast today, and it is stirring the pot There is no doubt about it. You spoke of Phineas, and Phineas had made atonement. But with all my heart, I have a zeal also. But we have a greater atonement, and that greater atonement is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made atonement for us. And through grace, we have a much greater purpose, I believe, and that is to execute the judgment against the devil and his cohorts, because we do not fight against flesh and blood. I believe the answer is spiritual warfare, coming together, binding and loosening, rebuking and casting out. But because there's so little faith in what the greater thing that has been given to us, spiritual warfare, and the promise that with that we have the authority and the power to cast out devils, it doesn't appear that any of us really believe this. Gathering together, warfaring the spirits that have made its purpose known in man is the greatest work that can be done. Physical destruction will not be the answer because it's demonic behind it. So what is the greater work? In my estimation, in my belief, the greater zeal should be rising in prayer meetings, bind, cast, loosening. If you don't understand what that means, just please go to Amazon and get my book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I mean, how political can you get? The Bill of Rights. And how powerful can you get when you have been granted this authority as the army of God? So I rest my case.
All right. Well, I think you have a valid case. There's no doubt about it. It's something to be looked into. You know, whether you have spiritual zeal or physical zeal, you know, that's not it. But you have to have some zeal. And that's what we're looking for today is zeal, the zeal of the Lord. Let's take our next call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Area code 605. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, I'm beginning to wonder if America isn't like this cliche, a box of rocks, the minds of the people. Now, this is my feeling that I feel about this abortion that has taken place since 1973. I believe the feminist movement started this. And then from that point on, it just came on more. And then behind that is witchcraft. And then behind that is the devil himself, which is Satan, and so much of self has come in to the hearts of people in our country and other places. Now we're at the place where we are at a total denial, some people are. And you know what? I had a real prophet of God tell me one time. This, he says, you know, God is love. But he said, if you preach that God is love, 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 he'll tolerate everything, there'll be many people in hell because of that. There is a wrath side to God, and we must understand that God does not wink at sin.
Well, amen to that. I totally concur. He does not. And obviously, not only does he not wink at sin, but he does seem to bless the zeal of his people. And that zeal does need to be directed rightly. So, yes, thank you for the comments. I appreciate them deeply. And thank you for calling into the broadcast. You know, I started the broadcast today with an idea of when the lights go out. That's what we were going to talk about, because there's this eerie sense that the lights are getting ready to go out. Whatever that means, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give her light. Whether that's electromagnetic pulse, there's a lights out. It seems to be kind of encroaching closer and closer to than when we first believed and heard that this would actually happen. And when we're talking about that, all of a sudden the news shows up that North Korea is back to its shenanigans with nuclear weapons and doing some work over there. You just never, ever, ever know where things are going to go. But it's so sloppy. It's so gunky. It's so it's like being walking through the drudge where you can't even lift your legs. Everything is so corrupt. I really believe that a lights out scenario is near. And what are you going to do to walk through it? You need oil like a wise virgin, right? But again, I want to get back to this. We were talking about Phineas. I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call right now. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. If you're watching us right now on YouTube, you could send us a little text on the chat line there, and we'll read your text and figure out what you wanted to say. And maybe you'd like to just weigh in on the conversation. We're talking about the zeal of the Lord. We're talking about God's signature upon the Maccabee revolt, the Hammer revolt. We're talking about Phineas. We're talking about a lot of different things. And I've got another friend calling in right now from South Dakota. I believe this is our brother Ken. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good morning. I am just fine. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. I am on my phone right now, but on my iPad, I could not get you in this morning.
Okay. Okay. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. So it did not come through that way. Also, as far as what's going on in this country and different things that you've been talking about, I support what you are bringing out. I feel that it needs to be brought out by more, and some of the churches need to start preaching this also. We are going in the wrong direction, and right now we're running at 110 miles an hour in that direction. We are going backwards as fast as we can get, and the churches are following with that.
Well, Ken, isn't it interesting? You just sparked something in me. We have military vets in this country. We have strong truckers in this country. We have police officers in this country. We have Air Force, Marines, Army, Navy, personnel, military. And yet we watch our police officers get water thrown on them. We watch the disrespect that is mounting in our country. The people that you would think would have zeal to stand up for our nation, it seems like all these big groups of Vietnam vets and all these tough guys and all these, you know, people that you would think would do something, they're standing by the police and they're allowing, because some guy in New York says, you stand down, and they stand down. And to me, that is such an absurdity. And I'm thinking, man, if the truckers won't do it, if the Vietnam vets won't do it, if the military personnel won't do it, if the police won't do it, which I'm saying stand up against this liberalism and this socialistic, communistic blasphemy that's going on in our country, then who will do it? And if the church won't do it, who will do it? Nobody's doing it. We'll all go into captivity.
I know a young man that ended up just retired from law enforcement. The reason that he decided to get out of law enforcement was because he said he's pretty much wearing handcuffs, and that meant on his tongue. He was not allowed to say things. He was not allowed to do things, and he was asked to do things that he said went against his conscience.
Yeah, there you go. And so he said, what the heck am I staying here for? So,
and
I don't know.
So
yeah.
If you can't do your job, feed your family and that, the best thing to do is get out. And I'm saying we need what you're saying. We need those people to stand up, but they have to be able to continue to feed their family and that also.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, Ken, for a long time were saying, oh, Trump, I don't like the way he talks. He needs to tone it down. Really, what needs to happen is a lot of people that love the Lord and follow the Lord need to get behind what they say the Lord put in office and start talking like him and be such aggressive and bold against everything that he is, rather than sitting back, oh, that was a good one, Donald Trump. No, you start saying it boldly as well is what I would think would be the right thing if you're really going to join the revolution that the president has been set here to produce. Your thoughts.
Amen. That's
Amen.
My thoughts. Amen.
All right, Ken. Well, God bless you, sir. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you. All right, very good. We're going to continue to take your calls. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And when you call in, just press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you in, and we'll talk. You know, God forbid that men have lost their zeal. I believe one of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit would bring a fresh fire into the heart of God's people for passion again. A zeal for God would be a great beginning for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we think the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is also that we could swing from chandeliers again. No, I believe that an outpouring of the Holy Spirit would bring fire back, because Jesus said, either be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And I believe that what he's saying in being hot is have your passion back. Get your zeal back. Become outspoken again. Speak when nobody's speaking. Speak into the darkness. And you can't do that if you don't have godly, spiritual zeal and passion. We're so dumbed down, folks. We are so dumbed down. It's sad. In my observation, it's very sad. People will not speak because it's politically incorrect. And so we abide by the rules of political correctness. God forbid that God's people would be of such spirit. Let's take our next call coming in. Mary Code 479-238. Looks, sounds like our brother Bill out there. Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. Great message, right on track. You know, regarding the military, has gone to the point where they've made it illegal to say anything. They even have, I know in the Air Force, you can't witness to somebody, whether it's in basic training or tech school or whatever. If that person doesn't like Christians, all they have to say is, hey, you know what, this guy offended me. You know, I feel bad now because of what he's telling me. And the Christian that was giving his testimony can be either court-martialed or kicked out of the military for sharing his testimony. They've handcuffed a lot of the soldiers, you know, across the board from saying what they want to say. A lot of these companies, these trucking companies and big companies, have basically did the same thing. They said, look, you know, we don't want to see you praying, or we don't want to see you talking to anybody about God while you're wearing the uniform of that company you're driving for. And if you do, then you're fired. Okay? In other words, they'll capitulate to the less than 0.5% of the LGBT community, but when it comes to the Christian, which should be somewhere between 40% and 60% of America, no, that you don't have any rights. And so they've handcuffed everybody, and everybody's out here trying to make a living, trying to put food on the table and feed your families and stuff, but they've said, hey, we'll take that ability away from you if you want to continue down that path. You know, if you share your testimony, we can take away your ability to feed your family. Well, those of us that are truly born again and have faith understand they're not our provider. God is our provider. But still, you've got to deal with that temporary setback that can be there if, in fact, they go that route. And some of them will go that route. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen, Pastor. Have a blessed day.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you for your comments, and I appreciate your thoughts about that. And it's true. But, you know, that's got to be what the condition and the atmosphere was like during the Maccabean Revolt. I mean, that foreign nation was basically telling God's people what they could do and not do. They actually put a stop to circumcision, sacrifices on the altar, worshiping their God the way that they were called to worship God. But a higher power was telling them you're not allowed to. So then a force began to work from within to overthrow the higher power to restore the people of God back to their place of true worship. We live in a generation where pedophiles are running rampant within our society. We've seen it. We know who's involved in it, and we don't say anything. We live in a time where homosexual marriages are promoted, which is an abomination to God, right? And yet we live in it. We don't do anything. We live where 90 million mass murders have taken place right before our eyes in the shedding of innocent blood, and we don't do anything about it. What, isn't there something wrong with that picture? Isn't there something wrong with that picture? I'm waiting for your call. Number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I mean, I understand today is Hanukkah and we want to have happy. I know Christmas is in 2 days and we want to have happy. I get that. But let's get behind the reality that Jesus Christ, when he was born into this world, he was born a revolutionary to overthrow the entire satanic kingdom. Do you think the sons of God being birthed in this generation are any different? I don't think so. Let's take our next call coming in from 479-366. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I went to Matthew 5:13. It says, "Ye are salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." And I pulled up one of the strong Hebrew of trample, to trample, loathe, down underfoot. And the last meaning is, wording is, be polluted. And my gosh, if we do not be salt and light in the earth, that's violent. I mean, to be trodden under the foot of men, I mean, it's imperative that we remain salt and light. And salt and light make no apologies for being salt and light. They do their job and they do it, period. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hear the heart of Phineas in our sister calling in today. Maybe there's some men sitting back today and they're, you know, maybe they're ex-military men. They've been, you know, in law enforcement and, you know, different services, and they've seen the bloody mess of war, and, you know, they don't want to see that happen in this country. But I would ask all the military vets, if they're watching the takeover in this country and the blasphemy in this country and the bloodshed in this country, maybe it's time to readdress your position, and maybe to start thinking that, you know, we don't want to see a revolution or a civil war because we've seen it and it's not pretty. Maybe we could wait this out and politically see changes. I don't know. I don't know if that's even possible at this point. Waiting for your call. 818-369-0326. Now, let me go out with this today, seeing I've got just 3 minutes left. There's nothing wrong with zeal. And we're talking about a very real celebration today with Hanukkah. There's nothing wrong with having zeal. And it has to be Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led zeal. And I understand that. I hope you have it. And I want you to pray with me, and I want to pray with you, that God, in the beginning of this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, will begin by bringing fire back. Passionate heat, not lukewarmness anymore. And however that passionate heat shows up, and whatever zeal is created in your spirit by that baptism, God would give you a signature in your life, an oil that will burn. It's sad to say that many of the warriors, like the children of Israel, have been preoccupied with the Midianite women, and the things of this world have stolen their zeal. It is sad. It's downright scary if you want to know the truth. Our generation would be afraid of a Phineas. I think our generation would be afraid of a Judas Maccabeus. I think our generation would be afraid of a Jesus that carries a whip into the temple. And I'm deeply concerned in my heart, in my spirit. I'm grieved. And I look to my left and my right for my. I say, where's the zeal? Where's the fire? Where's the passion to the madness that's going on in our society? Madness in our society because the people, like the prophet said, are mad upon their idols of luxury, success, money, power. And so we ignore the important things. I'm really saddened by that. However, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And happy Hanukkah to everybody out there today. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on The Watchman. Thank you for your support. If you ever consider doing that, we'd love to receive a blessing from you. We meet again. God bless everybody. Be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and shalom and over and out. Now we're going to Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a roundtable discussion happening right now over on Roundtable Discussion.